Thanks, Greg. Yes, we're here with Holly Blake, the orchestra's contrabassoon. You play bassoon and contrabassoon in the orchestra.
Yes, that's correct. In fact, in tonight's concert, the first piece by Chabrier called for four bassoons. So I was playing one of the bassoon parts, and then the other pieces that I play on in the program require contrabassoon or sarrusophone, as in the case of the Schmidt, which is in these days covered by the contrabassoon.
Well, even the contrabassoon is an instrument that a lot of people don't see up close very often, and you're here with yours. Can you describe it a little bit?
Sure. The contrabassoon is very closely related to the bassoon. It's actually twice the length of a bassoon. So instead of one fold over, which the bassoon has at the bottom, to total something about 7 and 7.5 feet long, the contrabassoon is actually double that size. In fact, sometimes it's called the double bassoon. And the bassoon has a curve around at the bottom and a curve around at the top so that it minimizes the unwieldy size of the contrabassoon were it a straight tube.
Is it heavy? It looks as if it could be heavy.
It's probably about 12 to 15 pounds. I've never actually weighed it.
And what is the range?
The range is from low B flat, which is the low B flat on the piano. The lowest note is down here. A three-octave range, approximately.
Is it hard to play both bassoon and contrabassoon in the same concert as you're doing today?
No, it's not. The switchover becomes very automatic. I'm very comfortable with both instruments. In fact, there are many pieces that call on me to switch within the piece. So, for instance, Mahler symphonies, I frequently will play third bassoon doubling contra, or fourth bassoon doubling contra, and sometimes in Stravinsky as well, and some other pieces. So it's not unusual for me to have both instruments right there in front of me. I generally have the contrabassoon on my left side and the bassoon on my right side and a stand for each one. I put one down, pick the other up, and sometimes quite quickly I have to make a change from instrument to instrument. So it's just a matter of being accustomed to it.
Well, this program in particular has some interesting music for the bassoon and contrabassoon. The music, some of it's very familiar, some of it's not as familiar. Have you played this music before?
I haven't played all of this music before. In fact, I haven't played most of this music before. I've never come across the Chabrier Joyeux March or the Schmidt for sure, the Tragedy of Salome. I have never played that before. In fact, the last time the orchestra played that piece was in 1919. So none of us, at least not in the Philadelphia Orchestra, currently in the Philadelphia Orchestra, have played that before.
So in the first half, you played bassoon in the Chabrier and...
And then contrabassoon, I played in the Saint-Saëns Bacchanal. And then I will play contrabassoon coming up in the Ravel, also in the Schmidt.
And let's talk about the Schmidt, because it's very unusual. The score calls for an instrument called sarrusophone.
Yes.
And what is that?
Okay, the sarrusophone is an instrument similar in sound to the contrabassoon that was very much in vogue around the turn of the century. And occasionally, French composers did use the sarrusophone in place of the contrabassoon. The sarrusophone was made of brass and also played with a double reed like the contrabassoon is. Before the modern contrabassoon, the original contrabassoon had a rather small sound that didn't cut or project very well through the orchestra. And so in order to have an instrument that projected well, they developed an instrument made of brass, similar to contrabassoon, especially for wind bands that would match in balance the sound, the dynamic of the other wind instruments. So it looks similar to a contrabassoon in shape, but it's brass with keys similar to a saxophone and a double reed similar to the bassoon and contrabassoon.
Have you ever played one?
I've never played one. I've never actually even seen one in person. I have heard them. The sound is pretty raw, a very rough sort of sounding instrument. Generally, the contrabassoon or the sarrusophone is called on to portray very low, dark, sinister, you know, the beast, the worm, the snake, the ogre. And so, unfortunately, that's the image. And sometimes, actually, it has very beautiful romantic melodies associated with it, but generally in the low range. There are some concertos written for contrabassoon as well.
Can you play a little bit of what we can anticipate in the Schmidt coming up?
Sure. Yes, there's a small, very small solo in the opening of the second part of the Schmidt. It's about the sea, the enchantment of the sea, and it begins with just solo contrabassoon leading to the bass clarinet, and it goes like this. It's just a short little fragment. Actually, the French composers featured the contrabassoon, I think, more than anyone else as a solo instrument.
I wonder why.
Well, I'm not exactly sure, except that maybe because they began to write so programmatically and paint pictures with the imagery of their music, I think that they found a new color in the voice of the contrabassoon. So Ravel writes several pieces where he utilizes the contrabassoon. One is the Mother Goose suite, which in the movement of the Beauty and the Beast, the clarinet is the beauty and the contrabassoon is the beast. But it's actually a very lovely melodic line, and it goes like this. Play a nice duet with the clarinet with those same sort of motifs, which is very lovely, actually.
It's beautiful and it's kind of soothing.
Yes, I think the low vibrations sort of are warm and round. And another big solo by Ravel is in the left-hand piano concerto. And it starts with the basses just in a very, very soft tremolo. And the contrabassoon comes in just almost out of the depths. And I always think of it as almost the beginning of life, you know, the sort of the birth of all of creation, just the coming out of the depths. And it's not, in that way, not sinister at all. It's more affirming.
That's cool. Yeah. So this is the first week of the Paris Festival. How is the bassoon and how is the contrabassoon used going forward?
There's a great deal of contrabassoon in all three of the programs, including the Petrushka and the Rhapsody Espagnole. And interestingly, because it was mostly the French conductors that wrote for sarrusophone, each week has a part that's originally written for sarrusophone. What I was thinking about also this Paris Festival is that it not only is great for me playing contrabassoon, but these composers wrote so beautifully for all of the woodwinds. They're really featured as solo instruments in this repertoire. So it's a really nice time for all of us in the woodwind section to enjoy.
Well, we look forward to the second half. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us, Holly Blake.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.